are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. We have the president of County Mac with us this afternoon, Ben Davis. We're going to be talking about some of the programs and some of the new programs, which I think are totally exciting over there at County Mac this afternoon. So, Ben Davis, how you doing this afternoon?
Well, I'm good. Thank you for having me here. It's always good to be here. I hear you and listen to you, so it's good to be here with you.
Absolutely. It's terrific. And, of course, being an old radio guy...
Would you say former instead of old?
Okay, former.
There you go.
Former radio guy.
I actually worked my way through college at a radio station. I worked with the old WFBC radio in Greenville and went to Furman, mm-hmm. worked my way through college, and then had the opportunity to do as you and buy a station. And we ran a couple of radio stations, one in Fountain Inn and one in Winnsboro down near Columbia, mm-hmm. and had a weekly newspaper. All of those were great ventures. We enjoyed them, but I've never done anything any more rewarding or satisfying than when I came to Connie Maxwell Children's Home almost 20 years ago.
Hard to believe, isn't
it?
Time
really
flies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I first met you teaching a marketing class at Mears Auction School, when I was becoming an auctioneer.
I tell everybody that my claim to fame is that I got to teach Ann Eller.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. I did, when I was in the radio business, knew Larry Mears, the auction school owner, and he called me one day and he said, I need somebody to come talk about advertising and marketing and communications. Will you do that? And so probably for 8, 9, maybe 10 years, I would go every time he had a class and remember you from then.
Right.
Never had any idea that the two of us would end up in Greenwood one day and talking across the microphone to each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course, you also were the mayor of Fountain Inn.
Well, I was the statesman, not a politician. No, I'll tell you about my mayorship. I'm what happens when people don't get out to vote.
Okay.
No, I enjoyed being mayor, and I served as mayor of Fountain Inn for about 12 years. Thoroughly enjoyed what I was doing in Fountain Inn as a mayor and entrepreneur, but I was asked to serve on the board at Connie Maxwell, mm-hmm. and I had heard of Connie Maxwell. To be honest, I had never been on the grounds, though, prior to coming to my first board meeting in the late 80s. And just fell in love with the place and the good work that they were doing. Later had the opportunity to be offered a position there in 93. We, quite honestly looked at it and said, how in the world are we going to do this? I'm the mayor of my town. We own a business. All the doors just opened right up, and we were able to come to Greenwood in 93. And although sometimes I miss certain elements about that past life, that yeah. other life. I've never done anything any more rewarding or satisfying than working with kids and seeing them change their lives for the better. And that's what Connie Maxwell does every day.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking about when you have the group reunions and everything, yeah. all the people that come back and how passionate the people that have sure. been through Connie Maxwell's doors feel about Connie Maxwell.
We do that every 2 years. We have a homecoming reunion. This past one was June of last year. We had over 700 former students and their family members to come back for the reunion. You just can't make me believe, Ann, if they thought they'd been in a bad place or it didn't do them any good, 20, 30, 40 years later, they're not going to come back to a reunion.
Sure. Absolutely.
But they do. And the first time I see them, almost invariably, I'll walk up to shake their hand, and big tears come to their eyes, and they say, I'm back home. You know, I'm
sure.
here with all my brothers and sisters back in my great big family, and that's what it's all about, is being a family to those who don't have one.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the story of Connie Maxwell is so inspiring. Do you want to tell us how Connie Maxwell started?
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's a tragic situation that occurred to one child that has opened up great possibilities to tens of thousands of children. When Connie Maxwell was a 7-year-old Greenwood girl whose dad was a local physician, Dr. J.C. Maxwell. And as you know, in the late 1800s, germ-killing factors were not good, and he came home with scarlet fever germs. He had been treating some people with scarlet fever, and Connie Maxwell caught it and died. And the Maxwells were so distraught over her death that they basically contacted South Carolina Baptist at that time and said, look, we've got a big farm. We'll give you our farm, our house, some money, if you'll start what then was called an orphanage. Mm-hmm. The only stipulation is that it remains in Greenwood and that it be named after our daughter, Connie Maxwell. So that's how we got here in 1892, 121 years this May. And for all of that time, we've been working with kids who, for whatever reason, have to be taken out of their homes or don't have a home to go to.
You know, you could almost, there is a big parallel here that I just was thinking as you were talking, Felton Burton and his daughter Debbie Burton. You know, where would there be a Burton Center today if it hadn't been for Debbie?
And absolutely, that is a major organization that does such a wonderful job, and there may not have been, at least under those same kind of circumstances, there may not have been a Connie Maxwell, there may not have been a children's home named whatever. If this tragedy had not occurred. So sometimes out of these tragedies that happen, great things can occur for other children. And we've had over 16,000 boys and girls to come through the program over the years.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, an amazing thing. And the great part is that the vast majority of these kids will tell you long after they have left, that it probably was the best thing that ever happened to me that I got to go there.
Sure. Well, I mean, look at the type of family. I mean, broken families, parents unable to take care of them. There haven't really been stipulations that didn't say, you know, if they needed a place, there was Connie Maxwell.
Most of the kids who come are from situations of abuse or abandonment or neglect. Now, the interesting thing is there's some parents who truly love their kids, but love them enough to know that they'd be better off with us than they are with them.
Sure.
Because the family's dysfunctional or the family is extremely poor or for whatever reason. So we do have a number of kids that come to us from parents or grandparents who love them very much but just can't take care of them.
Now, for those that don't really know what Connie Maxwell is, you have group homes. You want to explain how it actually works there?
Here in Greenwood, we have one large campus, about 800 acres, really, just right outside the downtown area. And on that, on this campus here in Greenwood, we have nine cottages plus an emergency shelter that takes kids immediately. We call them cottages because that's the industry standard, but they're huge, 5,500, 6,000 square foot homes. In those homes, kids live two to a bedroom, eight children to a house, with cottage parents who are there to love them and take care of them. And they eat their meals there in the house and go off to public school every day, as much like a family as we can make it happen. At our satellite locations, they're not the big campuses like they are here, but we have one home up in Malden. There's one in Chesterfield, one in Sherrall, two homes on a mini-campus down in Orangeburg, and then we have an office down in Somerville, too. So we're truly a statewide organization with headquarters here in Greenwood.
Now, are you a state-supported organization?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not, okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about that. Kids come to us in two or three different ways. The state, in the past, has always placed kids at children's homes, and about up until about 2 years ago, about 40% of our children were state-placed. The state puts them with you because they are either taken out of the home or a judge assigns them to be removed from the home and taken to a children's home. About 2 years ago, we got a different group of commissioners at DSS who have some different ideas about children's homes, and so our numbers have reduced down now to the point that instead of about 40%, about 20% of our children come to us from the state. Out of that numbers of kids, we've still been able to maintain about 200 children a year throughout the program by taking more private place kids. And those would be the people who know that their family's dysfunctional. If they don't do something soon, DSS or the courts are going to move in, take the kids away. So they approach us on their own. The difference is, of course, the state pays a little money.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot.
Right.
About 9% of our budget comes from the state.
Mm-hmm.
The other is made up from donations. But all of the private placements are paid for by donations.
Wow. So we are going to be talking a lot more about Connie Maxwell. They actually have a new program that I really want to get into and talk about. I think it's really exciting and could help not only the children, but the parents, too. So why don't you stay right with us right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. I am talking to Ben Davis. He is the president over there at Connie Maxwell. And, of course, Connie Maxwell, I know everybody in Greenwood at one time or another has been out there to see the Christmas decor. I tell you what, it's always presented as a gift to the community, and it really is a gift. I mean, I can't imagine how much work that is to put that all together every year.
Well, you know, we had over 17,000 people to come through in a three-night period this year. I guess our biggest challenge now is how do we do it in three nights with any more people than that? But we're just so thankful that people do come and that they enjoy it. And we don't charge because it's our way to sort of give back to the community and say thank you for supporting our kids and our program and come out and enjoy this Christmas event. But it's a big, big thing, and we get busloads of people from all over the state every year.
Well, it's tremendous, and of course, you know, when do they start working on it every year?
Well,
they already started working on it now.
they really have, as far as trying to get things ready behind the scenes. I'm one of those guys who encourages them not to turn the lights on until after Thanksgiving. I want Thanksgiving to happen,
right,
and then we'll go to Christmas.
I agree.
But they do have to start decorating.
Sure.
In October and early November to get ready. And our folks pitch in, everybody on the staff joins right in doing it. And our kids, you know, think back to growing up, you decorate your house and you want all your friends to come see it. That's
sure.
Sort of the way our kids look at it. They get involved in the decorating and friends at school and others come and see their beautiful campus, and it's a real exciting time for the kids too.
Well, the lights are one thing, but the luminaries that cover the whole campus is just phenomenal, and that's a lot of work right there.
It really is, and we go on every street throughout the campus and put out those luminaries and then take horse-drawn wagon rides that people have a chance to go through, and the kids sing in the church, and we have a live nativity scene and a little petting zoo for the kids to come and see the animals and the hot chocolate. It's a total package that we think people have gotten used to. There's no way in the world I'd stop it now. I'd probably be run out of town, you know.
Well, it wouldn't be Christmas if you didn't have Connie Max Christmas.
It's a tradition, I think, and we're glad it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, we were starting to talk about the expense of this and how much does it cost to keep a child at Connie Max?
That's an interesting question that we get a lot, and nobody ever seems to have a direct way to figure it. For instance, if you look at just what it costs per child to feed, clothe, house them, medical needs, educational needs, you're looking $30,000 or more. If you look at the big picture and say, okay, but we also have to hire parents, we have to hire a pastor in our church, we have to hire a rec guy over here who
got to have groundskeepers,
the
farm,
add all of that in, and then look at it per child, $50,000 to $55,000 per child to run the entire program.
Sure.
The interesting thing about what we do is we're one of the few nonprofits that are really a benevolent program. Kids can't pay us when
right.
they come, and parents from dysfunctional or broken homes can't or don't pay. So we have to depend on people and churches and businesses to scholarship those kids. So basically, when a child comes, there's no money stream, but we never turn one away because of that reason. We simply go out and try to find somebody who's willing to put in the money to scholarship that child being there. So it's a constant fundraising situation.
Yeah, and that has to be tough in this economy. I know that even the churches are starting to hurt now, and it's hard for the churches to be able to give. Although they do, it's become a lot harder.
It really is, and we understand that, and we've tightened our belts like you have in your business and everybody else has had to do too. I mentioned earlier that Dr. Maxwell gave all of this to South Carolina Baptist. A lot of people have the mistaken feeling that South Carolina Baptist totally cover all of our costs. We get about 10% of our budget from what the Baptists call the cooperative program, roughly another 10% from Baptist churches. And we're certainly appreciative of that, but that's around 20%.
Yeah.
We still got 80% to go out and raise, and of course, being a Baptist institution, we get monies from the Baptists, but kids come from everywhere.
Sure.
They're all denominations or no denomination, and they come to the children's home in need. So it's open to anybody and everybody that we feel we can serve and take care of and help, and who is willing to try to get that help.
Absolutely. Well, I know that that has to be a huge undertaking, and I'll bet fundraising never leaves your brain.
Never.
Never.
I used to be a lot taller than I am, but the responsibility the responsibility of all of this fundraising has just pushed me down into the ground. It is a constant thing that you've got to do.
Sure.
And in the last 4 or 5 years, the economy has been such that, as you say, the churches have hurt. Individuals have hurt.
Sure.
Foundations haven't had the kind of money to give. It's been a tough time. We're beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Uh-huh. If sequestration doesn't turn everything upside down once again. But
only
we've been
able days to know.
I know.
Only 8 days to know.
But we've been hanging in there and doing okay.
Sure. And, you know, I think it is a credit to the fact that the grounds over there, it always looks beautiful. And you know, you've seen a lot of successes come from the students, from the children that have stayed there. Like you said, they come back afterwards, and you've had many go out, and I know that many of those that have gone out give back.
Well, here's an interesting thing. One of our chief grounds crew guys and maintenance guys is a Connie Maxwell product. Henry grew up there and has come back now, and he works on the grounds and on our maintenance crew. And then we have a number of others. John and Sue Sheriff grew up at Connie Maxwell and have been back there working for years and years and years. And Judy Tafta and a number of others who grew up on our campus have come back to work there and are just continuing to do a great job at their jobs.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It is right at 4:30. It is almost time for South Carolina News. Hey, if you've got a question for Ben, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to hear South Carolina News, a word from our sponsors, and yes, we'll be right back. So you keep it tuned right here with us. Weather outside, beautiful. Did it make it to 60? I don't have my...
I don't know, but it was nice.
It's nice. And, of course, it's going to deteriorate from here. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
That's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery having a lot of conversation. One former radio person with one current radio person talking about a lot of different things this afternoon. So I sure hope you're enjoying the show. I hope you're learning a little bit more about Connie Maxwell. How many children do you actually have at Connie Maxwell, like right now?
We'll work with about 135 children at any given time, and because some of them come and go during a year, about 200 children over a year's period of time. It's gotten so in the almost 20 years that I've been here that children just don't stay as long. They used to. Years ago, before I even came, a child would come at 6 or 7 years old and be there till they finished high school. Now the average time is about 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years. Some still, though, will come at that early age and stay. There never is anything that works out in their family, or there's not a relative that comes along and says, you know, I can take this child. So some will be with us the whole time.
Sure.
The difference is they're most of the time not orphans anymore. When kids used to come as orphans, they would be there their whole growing up life.
Sure.
They come now as children from dysfunctional situations that can change and can get better, so they're not with you nearly as long. But it still, over a year, we'll have a couple of hundred children in and out of the program.
You know, I think this has to be a very interesting job, and I would think that it's a very challenging job, because everything with raising children and everything is changing so, and we're seeing so many lack of moral fiber, I'm going to say, that certainly is making it tough when you take kids in. I'm sure that's part of a tough issue.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of the kids come to us with none of that background training. You know, they just feel that everything's okay and they can do anything they want to, because nobody has ever tried to really give them. Yeah, nobody's ever really given it to them. And kids today have so much more trauma in their lives than they ever did before. They've either gone through some horrible things at home from the people who are supposed to love them more than anybody else,
sure,
their own parents,
yeah,
or they've gone through a situation because of economics or some other reason that the parents...
Drugs are a big part of it.
Yeah, drugs are a major problem.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have any kids on our campus who have had drug addiction problems or legal problems.
Sure.
But oftentimes, their families have been in that situation. Dad and mom, maybe dad's gone. He took off and mom is an alcoholic or some other problem. I do want to say, in defense of a lot of the parents, so there are some very good parents whose kids come to us that are not abusers or neglectors or drug addiction people, but for whatever reason, they just can't take care of their children. And so we do have a number of kids along those lines, too.
Sure, absolutely. Now, you've started a new program. I think it started last summer was the first time I heard about it. I'm not sure exactly when you started it. Tell us a little bit about it. I think that's totally exciting.
Well, it's extremely exciting to all of us in the field. We'll always have that core group of residential kids who have to be taken out of a home, who will live in one of our houses. But we saw a real need for single mothers in particular who, for whatever reason, just can't take care of their kids but want to. Mm-hmm. They're good mothers. They love their kids. They don't have a drug problem. They are not in trouble with the law. They just, because of finances or there's no spouse in the picture, can't take care of the kids. So we've taken three houses on our Greenwood campus and are vetting families extremely well to make sure that they are caring, loving people. We're letting them come in, live in these houses with their children. They're raising their own children rather than having the system, the state system, pull those kids away. And we're working with them in a counseling, mentoring, training area to help them if they don't have a GED, for instance, to help them get one. Okay. If they do but they don't have a job, help them learn more about doing a resume or an interview. We're trying to help them get back on track so that within a short period of time, they can be out on their own again with a good job, maybe renting an apartment or a house or buying a house, and be self-sufficient again. We sort of see it not as a handout. Mm-hmm. There are way too many handouts that become entitlements. Mm-hmm. We see it as a helping hand that simply lets them get back on their feet again with their kids rather than trying to do it with their kids taken away from them by the state.
Sure. That has to be. And how is the program working?
Very good. We have right now four families on the campus, and I believe it's 11 children who are there living with their mothers. We have people who are counseling with them, working with them to help. If they need parent training, we're working with that. If they need to learn how to do a budget, we're trying to help them do that. We're trying to help them get back on their feet after they've been knocked down by whatever in life has done that. We've already seen three families to come in that are already gone again because the mothers got jobs and have moved on. Right now we have, I think, one or two of those family members that the mothers have gotten jobs, but they still need some stability before they move out.
Sure.
We'll look at taking them for 6 months to begin with. Obviously, everybody's not going to find that perfect job in 6 months. If they don't, but they're doing well in other ways, we'll try to extend it another 3 months to give them time to get on their feet. But we don't want this to become the kind of thing where they see in the back of their minds, I've got a free house that doesn't cost me a dime that's going to be there forever and ever and ever.
Sounds like the federal government.
Yes, exactly like the federal government. So they're not really trying.
Exactly.
If they know that we're trying to help them get back out on their own in their own place, most of these mothers are willing to really work at it. And it's working extremely well. New idea. In fact, I think we're about the only children's home that I know of in the state that's doing this at this point.
Wow. I think that's terrific. I think we could the federal government could take a lesson from this. I'm sorry I have to say that, but I think that could take a lesson from it because this is called the Family Care Program, and it just has so many possibilities to help those and get them straight and get them moving in the right direction so they can take care of their children. And I think basically that's what we used to think that everybody wanted.
Sure. And I think at least the people that we're finding that are applying for the program do want that. They don't really want that handout forever. They want somebody to help them get back out and be self-sustaining again. But you're exactly right. We've become an entitlement society primarily because of the federal government saying forever and ever and ever we're going to give you this so you don't have to work, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do something else.
Sure.
I think that there's still plenty of people out there, though, who say, you know, I want to raise my family myself. I want to have a job. I want to be able to own my own home. I'm going to work within this program to be able to do that. And we're seeing that occur, and as long as it does, it's going to be, I think, another great addition to the Connie Maxwell program.
I think it's terrific, and I think maybe the federal government ought to come down and check this out. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors and be right back. Don't you go away. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Ready to race to you. These days are all.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Right back here at Sharp Passes Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Ben Davis. He is the president and CEO over there at Connie Maxwell. You know, it's such a beautiful campus, and I love driving down there, whether it's in the summer or in the fall. It's always beautiful. And my heart went out when we saw some of those trees come down when the tornado came through here.
You know, we had 51 beautiful old oak trees that were just decimated when that storm came through.
I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah, and we were totally distraught. The great thing about it is, once they got gone, there's so many beautiful ones still on campus. We don't miss them quite as much now, but boy, they left a hole there for a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the program, the Family Care Program, an excellent program, I think, and you know, we've been talking about this. You've had some, I would call them graduates from the program, mothers with their children. Can you tell us how any of them are out there doing?
We know that a couple of them got good jobs and went on to self-sustainability on their own. One we're a little unsure of. I think they moved out of the area, and we haven't been able to remain in contact with them. But we know that a couple of those families are doing well now, and it's such a new program that we're going to have to see what happens with these who are there with us now. And we know, we're not naive enough to think that there might not be some hiccups along the way with somebody who leaves before they're quite ready to do so, but we have found that all of these folks who have been in the program truly want to better themselves, and they see this as an opportunity to help learn some things that will help them get a job, but also at the same time take care of their family, which is what they want to do.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of interesting in today's world that, you know, we've had parents for eons, and we have so many parents today that just don't know the right way, or maybe they're, I had Dr. Joe Patton on the other day, and he was telling me that part of the problem is we have so many strivers. They're striving to better themselves, but they're not concerned about the family unit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true, and I think we see that. It's interesting sometimes and sad, too, that we'll have some kids, not many, but some kids, from very affluent homes, but their parents are just so involved in their work and their lives that they can't take care of the kids.
Yeah.
So you're going to find that all the time. Back you know, years ago, a mom and dad loved their kids, and that was what they were out there working for.
Sure.
That's not always true today.
And we have so many single parents.
Yes.
And
that's a big, big problem. Obviously, I admire those ladies who have to be single moms, who do a good job with their families. But every statistic tells you, if you don't have a mom and dad in there together, working together, that there are going to be some difficulties with those children. They may be minor for some kids. They may be extremely major for others. It's rare that we will have a child who has a cohesive family with mom and dad living together to come to Connie Maxwell.
You know, I think another one of the things that you deal with over there and why I think it's great that you have parents, cottage parents in each house, is because it does put that mom and dad, a male and a female, in that environment. And so many times kids don't know how to work it. And, you know, having dinner, I guess you guys have dinner over there too, don't you?
Absolutely. A lot of food goes through those tables, and it is interesting, and here again, sad. A lot of times we'll get kids in who will sit down their first night to eat, and all of this food's on the table, and they just look around in awe, like, you know, can I eat all of this? And we've even had kids who will finish eating and say, is there going to be more tomorrow? Will I be able to have more? Because they're not used to having a good full meal at every mealtime. And it's just an eye-opening experience for them and a heartwarming experience for us.
Absolutely. Now, don't you grow some of your food over there, the vegetables or some? Do you do some of that?
Obviously, we had a major farm when we first started and grew about everything. They grew all of their vegetables and their beef and so forth. We've kept the farm, turned it into a learning place for the kids. They can go over and adopt a horse and learn how to ride a horse. And we've got a campsite there that they can spend the night away from the house at the campsite, and fishing ponds and other things over there. But we still try to grow a little bit. We obviously don't grow enough vegetables to feed all of the kids, but we'll grow tomatoes and help the kids learn how to grow them, and occasionally grow some corn. And we do have beef cattle, though. I think believe we've got about 75 head of beef cattle there.
And they're all pets, right?
Well, believe it or not, we do take them. The kids don't know it, maybe, but we take them and do provide a lot of the beef that we eat on the campus from the farm. So it's sort of a maybe a city farm now. We have some farming activities, but it's more a teaching experience for the kids.
I think that's excellent, you know, and you've got all that great space over there. So now, just to flip back to the program that you have started over there, the family care program, how does somebody get to be able to be considered for this?
We didn't know, to be honest, how to go about marketing that kind of program. So it's mainly been word of mouth to this point. We did contact a lot of agencies in the area who, because of domestic violence or some other reason, will be dealing with females who have their families, with women with their families. But it's primarily been a word-of-mouth kind of thing up to this point. But when somebody hears about it, knows of somebody who perhaps might need that kind of service, if they will just contact them and have them be in touch with us, we go through that process to see if it's right for the family and right for us. We obviously can't take everybody who has a problem, but we are trying to winnow those down to the point where we're getting people that we truly know we can help and who truly want to be helped.
Sure.
So really it's just a matter of if you know of somebody, if you're a member of an organization or a church that could help us get the word out about the program, all they've got to do is call us and ask for an interview.
Absolutely. Is there any particular person to call and talk to?
Brian Patterson is the gentleman in charge of that program. Brian's been with us for a long time, for a number of years, ran our emergency shelter, but has taken over this family care program and is doing a very good job with it. But if they don't remember a name, just call and say, I want to talk to somebody about family care.
Okay, and what's that number out there at County Maxwell?
942-1400. 942-1400 is the main office number, and they can reach anybody by calling that number.
That's great. Now, of course, you've had, and you know, now just explain to me, when we have a child that graduates from high school, what happens then?
Good question. Many of them will want to go on to college, and if they have the desire to go, the ability to go, we help them go on to college. We have a number of kids right now who are in college who could not have gone if we hadn't been able to help them fund that. Some of them want to go into the service. Some are ready to get a job, and we'll work with them with life skills in their last year or two with us in a program we call Transition to Independent Living, to help them learn what it's like out in the real world.
We need to have that program for all kids.
For everybody.
I think. Yeah, because I think a lot of kids get out there and they go, I'm going home.
it's interesting. My wife, Polly, does all the tours, and tour groups will come. She says many times during the tour when she's explaining things, a couple of ladies will raise their hands and say, I love my children, but could they come here just for a little while?
Exactly.
They need some of the training that you offer. But we try to help them get ready for that outside time. And we even have a fund called the Staff Fund, STAF, Student Transitional Assistance Fund, that when they get ready to graduate, if they're not going on to college, they're just trying to get a job, we will help them with that fund to sort of get established in a home somewhere. But we let them know we're always family, and
sure,
we want them to come back and be a part of the activities at Cuddy Maxwell.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it sounds like it is a program there, whether it's the family care program or just the program for the children to, I'll use the word, rescue them and put them in a good, wholesome environment. It certainly makes a difference. And, of course, the proof is that every 2 years they all come back to roost, don't they?
And we're thankful that they do. We have a great group of alumni who love the place, continue to give. In fact, two or three of our biggest facilities have been paid for, buildings paid for, by alumni who left us and went out and did well on their own in business or in some other way, and have come back to build another building for other kids to take advantage of. So it's just a constant turnover of kids who care for other kids who care for other kids as they grow up and go about their own life and try to give back and help out in that way.
You know, I think that's one of the wonderful things about an organization like Cuddy Mac, because it's not government-funded, it's not state-supported, it's an organization that has been able to sustain itself for 121 years.
Absolutely, yeah.
And still doing well and innovating with this family care program.
We know we've got to stay on top of new things because society changes, needs change, people change. So we think this family care is going to be a great addition. But I foresee that we'll always have a need for the residential element for kids. We believe in adoptions if it's right for the family and the child. We believe in foster families if that's right for the family and the child. But we know that some kids have been hurt so much by a family, they're not quite ready to go into a family yet.
Sure.
And they flourish and thrive at a place like Cuddy Maxwell, where their family is a big bunch of kids who live right there on the campus with them. It's a new family for them.
Absolutely. It's a new start and a new
yeah.
beginning. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I've been here with Ben Davis. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Ben, thanks so much for coming out and telling us all about Cuddy Maxwell.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.